You guys are fired up. Dang. You're making my job too easy. That's awesome. Man, awesome job. Awesome. Did Carlos get you fired up this morning? Thank you, Carlos. Appreciate it. Is this mine? It fell. Anybody have some... Oh, wait, I could use that. I don't think I need the lip gloss, though. But got some. I'll take it to the back if you guys lost anything. All right. How's everybody doing? Good job. You guys get some rest last night? No. All right, that's okay. We've got one more day. Who's up for one more day? And this is the day that's going to connect all the dots. This is the day that's going to... How many of you guys are a little bit overloaded right now? Like, what the... This is the day that she's going to connect all the dots for you. She's going to put it into very practical terms that you can use day to day, starting today, to really move your business forward. Who's ready for an increase in your business? Or a promotion at work? Or a big breakthrough with your family? This is, yeah, wow, there it is. So this is the place where this is the day that's all that stuff's going to happen. You're going to get that practical stuff that you need to make that all work and work for you specifically. The seat that you're in today right now is your seat for the whole day. And for the rest of the day, we've got some awesome stuff coming up for you. So be ready for that. Please press in, like really give Dani your energy at this point in the weekend. She's been on stage for like, what, 15 hours already? And you've got a whole another day going. Ahead. So anything that you can give her energy wise, she uses that. And so it's definitely important to her. So yesterday, we had some phenomenal stories up here, some newer people that have had some great success. How many of you guys are ready for like to be on stage a couple months from now with just like massive change in your life? Right? Absolutely. That's what we showed you yesterday. Today, we're going to show you what it looks like a year if you just dedicate a year to this. Can you guys understand, like you've heard Dani say, just give me a year of your life. Who's heard her say that? What does that mean? That means come into an event every single time we have one. That means just plugging in for an entire year, pressing play every day, listening to Dani, applying those things as you go. And what happens to your life after that 1 year is shocking. That year's going to come and go no matter what. There's nothing you can do about that, right? So now you get to choose where you want to be. And the story we're going to bring up this morning is an amazing story of a man who's gone from worse than zero to amazing things in the last year or so. So please help me welcome Rogelio Del Rio. Where is he? Here he is. Awesome. Why don't you start off, just give us your 30-second version of your story.
So, when I came to Dani, I was actually homeless. I had just, prior to that, just to being homeless, I did about 3 years incarceration in prison and jail, military break, all of that. And it was all through just... building bad habits, drugs, alcohol, all that jazz and stuff. So I'm homeless, the worst time in my life. And I'm, you ever pulled out a plant out of a pot and you forget to put it into the ground or put water into it and the leaves start to wither? So when I came here, I was that plant. I was all withered. I had been pulled out of the pot, but still somehow I was getting some a little bit of moisture and I was still alive. So when I came here, thanks to that guy right there, Carlos, he brought me here. I was able to be put in water, so I started to come back alive, and that was just the beginning of everything, of starting to change, to reprogram. And one of the things that I realized that I had been doing all my life is that even after I got out of the system of being in the physical jails, that I was still a prisoner in my mind. And that I kept I kept because of whatever in the past that had happened, that all of us, we have some crap that we went through, that it was painful, and that it just messed us up. We created a prison, and we created those walls, and we walked through our life with a prison mentality in our mindset that we carry everywhere we go, and we keep ourselves from just being the people that our Creator made us to be. So coming here, there's jackhammers, there's welders, and there's a lot of explosives, which we need. So I've escaped. And today I can say that I am free. So I'm here, and I have five kids, and that relationship has been restored. I mean, the kids are in my life now. My 17-year-old texts me, and he's like, "I love you, Dad," and I'm like, and it's crazy because at one point that wasn't happening. I met many of you know Brandy. I met her here through Carlos too, and just a word of advice: start as brothers and sisters, right? It's keep that relationship pure, which we did, and we I asked her on a date, and I forgot what day it was, but she remember. Let's call it Saturday, and by Monday we were married. So I formed her, and I read her sign, and bam. So
that's awesome.
You know, at that time we lost our we had a landscape company. The landscape company went from, I don't even, because I wasn't tracking, I was just doing, it was zero. And then we started, last year we closed about $750,000 in sales. And this year we're projected to do $1 million. That's the goal. And we're going to do it, not by our efforts, but by applying the principles. Yeah, your efforts, but principles. First, having that intimate relationship with Heavenly Father, who is the one that brings the water, and then just applying the consistency. Like one of the things that helped me was doing the year, because I've been doing the. I'm going to do an event. I got a couple $100. Let me just do an event. And then I'm like, then I go and I'm like, I take a couple things and I run with it. And then I come back a year later. But how do you build a skill? It has to be repetition. Like, you build muscle by being consistent and just being after it day after day after day. And then before you know it, you start to develop a style on that skill. And whatever that you do, like, it just starts to, you're like, you got a style now. So that's what it's been coming. Now I've developed a style of consistency and change and transformation. And DJU, everything, buy it straight up, just buy it. And do the consistency. Just make a commitment and say, I'm going to do it. And I guarantee you that you will be blessed by the changes. And if you don't have it right now, just do it, and I guarantee you it'll happen. So, thank you.
Wow, dude. That was awesome. Thank you. So we've got Dynasty coming up.
Yeah.
How? What's Dynasty like? What was the breakthrough you had there?
In Dynasty, I was able to, because I like shoe boxes, all right? And I like to stick my head in there. So, I like dark places. That's all right, that's not going anywhere, right? Doing Dynasty allowed me to just be able to do one-on-one with others and practicing, because, like for myself, and I'm sure that none of you guys do that in here, I like to do things on my own, and I got this, and I'm going to do this on my own. And it's just by interacting with others and just doing the exercises and It's that live connection with one another and just rubbing with different personalities, and how that person just has this little piece of your Lego set that you were missing. And for others, they're doing Monopoly game from the store, like he has a missing piece to, so you could get the extra set of milk, whatever. So it's like everybody has something to give. So just reach out, man. Reach out. Don't do this alone, because this is not a one-on-one thing. It's a family. It's a unit. It's just team. This is a team. It's a team.
That's awesome, man. Did he do an awesome job? You want to bring Danny on stage?
So I want to welcome to you guys America's favorite millionaire, my coach and mentor, Danny Johnson.
Not that old, but they're cheap, like 4 years old, something like that. Good morning. I said, good morning. This is the fourth quarter. We're in the fourth quarter of the game. And what that means is that you have to give it your best. This is the quarter that the games are won or lost. And what you put in today determines what your score is today, what you're going to leave with, the kind of commitment level that you're going to leave here with, that you're going to go home and play the game of life. So this morning, we're going to get really focused and drive to the direction of where it is that you have to be with the mindset of leaving this place. One of the things that is so important, I got to tell you, I started playing basketball when I was 6 years old. And the YMCA came to my parents' house with a jersey and a little pair of shorts. And the name on the jersey was the Jazz. And I did not know what a basketball was. Didn't know anything about the sport. So grateful that they knocked on the poor people's house to let one of the kids play. Because it's actually basketball that laid a foundation for my life, for business, for money, for family, for everything in my life. Because there's something about team sports that really relates to winning in every area of your life. So we started on Friday and we talked about that you have three teams, minimum. Three teams, right? You have your first string team, your second string team, and your third string team. We talked about a list of priorities of what your life is, right? Health, marriage, parenting, extended family, work, huh? Fun and adventure, charity, legacy. That's your full life, that's your game of life, and it takes a team to be able to succeed in all those areas of your life. So we're going to be using this ball for much of the day today to be making some very important points. I asked you on Friday, what kind of a player are you? Are you a team player who's humble, or are you arrogant? I coached my son's fourth grade basketball team. I played basketball for 15 years, by the way. I had 26 scholarship offers for basketball my junior year in high school. That was under the condition if I completed my senior year with the same GPA and the same averages, I was the highest scorer and I was the highest rebounder. When you saw Janet Bloodworth come in after the ball, you saw why. It was a natural thing. My hip just went right out and knocked her over. Sorry, Janet. It's called muscle memory. Even though it's been a really long time since I've broken anyone's ankle. The last ankle of the last individual I broke was a huge logger, a man. It was 3-on-3, Mona McGrady, myself, and anyway, we're playing up against a man that's 6'2", and man, huge logger. Do you know any of these guys pick up logs? And anyway, so it's just a knee-jerk reaction if someone goes up against you in a layup or trying to steal the ball. My hips were made for blocking. So my point is, you got to have a good defense in order to win. You have to have a good defense. And your opponent is who? The 98%er in you. And if you don't have a good defensive plan, the thing you have to realize is that the opponent always has their turn with the ball. Otherwise, there's no game. There has to be an opposition in order for there to be a game. And so many people go through life surprised when there's opposition. They're surprised. And they freak out because there's opposition, because things aren't going the way that they wanted to, not realizing that the opposition is there to strengthen your defense, to get the ball back in your hands, because you can only score on offense. You can only score on offense. But if you don't have a good defense, you're not going to have the ball very much. You're not going to have the ball very much at all, because everyone gets a turn. Do you understand? Everyone gets a turn. So when it comes to succeeding, especially from a business perspective, and again, if you're full-time at home, what is your business? Your family is your full-time business. If you are part-time out of the house, your family is still your full-time business. Even if you work full-time out of the home, your full-time job is still your home. It's still your home. Did you hear me? That priority never changes. That's still always the highest priority. And that team is always the highest priority. So having a strong defense means that you have to hedge your bets in the direction of your success instead of not expecting to have places where you're going to fall down, instead of thinking that there's not going to be bad days, instead of thinking that everything's going to be easy. No, you need to count on it not being easy. And you have to hedge your bets. You have to immunize your mind on a daily basis to be a champion in the direction of where your weakest points are. And you have to stay out of your weaknesses. Some of your weaknesses is judging your spouse. Some of your weaknesses is freaking out and overreacting when you lose the ball. Some of your weaknesses is that you start to get lazy, that you start to get distracted. Where are you people who are, that is it. So you have to hedge that. You have to stay out of your weakness and walk in your strengths. But how many of you do know how to be consistent? How many of you do know how to be kind and loving? How many of you know how to do the right thing? Okay, stay in your strengths. Stay out of your weaknesses. Your weakness might be critical and condemning. Your weakness might be being late often and dishonoring the emeralds in your life. Stay out of your weaknesses. Your weakness may, do you understand what I'm saying? So choose to honor the emerald, right, with your diligence. You know how to be diligent. Everybody knows how to be diligent. It's just some have it really easy and they don't have to think about it. And that, those are the ones that need to be gracious with those who have to work at it. That doesn't mean that no one should work at being diligent. So if laziness is your problem, then you must hedge that, stay out of your weakness. If thinking in terms of fear is your weakness, stay out of your weakness. So I'm going to throw some things on the board to kind of bring everything together today. And there's a couple places where I really want to focus as we're leaving here when I think about what is, you know, like the most important thing that we could leave today with. How many of you enjoyed last night with Brian Niederhouse? That's awesome. That's awesome. Good. Okay. When it comes to business or building a legacy, if you will, from your job and your work-life perspective, every business needs exposure. Every business needs exposure. We talked about that yesterday. Remember we said, what is every business need? What every business, organization, church, or charity need? People, right? So how do we capture the people? Okay, how do we capture the people? Well, this is going to happen through word of mouth. It's going to happen through exposure in social media. It could be exposure on the radio. It could be exposure on television. It could be exposure where else? print ads, okay, the newspaper, can be exposure on your car. You can have an ad on your car, right? You can do advertising on social media. What are some other forms of exposure that you can get? Say again. Backpacks, yep, clear backpacks. Even we used to do that back when those came out a long, long time ago. Put all of our product inside of the backpack. People would ask us what was in it. End up selling the whole backpack, everything that was inside of it, right? So merchandise, T-shirts, right? Merchandise that you wear that has some kind of messaging on it, some kind of branding on a hat, right? Okay, what else? What are other ways to get exposure? Okay, flyers is a way to get exposure. We already said word of mouth. Billboards is a way to get exposure, very expensive way to get exposure. Okay, business cards, pens, buttons, man. I built multi-millions of dollars in sales from wearing a button. Okay, yeah, I already said magnets on your car, yep. Okay, so a button, literally, a button costs like next to nothing. Right? You could have a button that says, want to be debt-free, ask me how. You could be marketing anything. It's just nothing but a conversation starter. We used to have another button that says, I've got a new attitude, ask me how. Okay, for those in the weight loss business, I've lost with your weight loss results on it, ask me how. Like, just simple things where people ask you about it. This is why real estate agents wear their thing that says IRA in their name. It's to get people to ask them about it. Okay, so some kind of paraphernalia, if you will, that's on your body that says this is who we are and this is what we do. Just a point of conversation. So then if you've got something on your body, a shirt or a button or something like that where you're caught, where somebody is asking you a question, right? So if you don't want to start a conversation, you can get somebody else to start the conversation. But you right away take that conversation away and go back to leading it where they say, what's that button all about? And you just say, hey, what's your name? Then you start forming them. Right? You start doing what you saw me do on stage yesterday. All right? So those are different forms of exposure. Now, really important, if you're going to do exposure on social media, really super important that you do not break really simple rules on Facebook, especially. Like constantly posting about your product. So when it comes to exposure, here's some other forms of exposure that you might be completely oblivious to. And what it is it's tapping into other people's funnels or creating a funnel that ends in your product and service. Let's talk about funnels real quick. Yeah. So a funnel, I'm not an artist. Shh. Whenever I draw something on the board, it never looks like how I saw it in my head. There's something that happens between my head and my hand. It just doesn't usually go well together. It's kind of like me trying to learn how to dance. Same thing. It's like my head's doing it right, but my feet are not. Okay, so in a funnel, there's a wide message up here. Okay, there's a wider message up here that eventually leads to an outcome down here. Okay, so it's a wider message that you're casting before a lot of people. Let me give you a prime example. How many of you own War on Debt? All right, now look. So what you're looking for, and again, this may or may not apply to you. It applies to most of you, and I'm going to show you how. And this is the concept of a funnel and getting exposure in other centers of influence, a wider market than just your market of just construction or your market of just health or your market of just insurance, okay? So yesterday we talked about if you can give other people what they want, then you'll get what you want, okay? So if you're leaving here not to get, but you're leaving here to give, then what you have to think about is what do they want? What does the market want? What is a leading problem? And you want to lead with problems because people care more about solving their problem. And write this down. The bigger the problem you solve, the bigger the paycheck you get. The bigger the problem you solve, the bigger the paycheck you get. So become great problem solvers. See, people who run away from solving problems don't ever get to make big paychecks. But problems are nothing but task lists hidden by emotions. Problems are nothing but task lists hidden by emotions. You take the motion out of it and you just look for what the task list is. How do I solve this? Step one, step two, step three, step four. So when it comes to a funnel, you got to think in terms of, okay, what are people's problems? What are, and you're looking for like the itch they cannot scratch on their own. You're looking for a wound to pour salt on. That's what you're looking to do. And you want to speak to the problem before you speak to the solution. So here's the difference. A lot of people try to, remember yesterday I said that everybody's in some form of sales, okay? This is true. Everybody's in some form of sales, but most people suck at it because they don't know that they're actually in sales. But here's the baseline of it. Most people try to sell features. Look at my knife. It is made of stainless steel. It is also made of this special kind of wood. This is a nice knife that was made in such and such. And this knife has been sharpened by so and so. Who gives a flippin' rip? People just want to know, what can the knife do for? What's in it for me is how all of our minds have been wired. So instead of selling features, which you should not do, you need to sell the benefit. People want the benefit, but they don't want the benefit until you have highlighted the problem that they have. So you've got to bring attention to the problem. When you bring attention to the problem, now here's the solution, which is the benefits of the knife or whatever it is that you're selling. So features is what a lot of people like to impress people with. These are my oils. They are made in Ecuador. They were harvested after X amount of years, and they were done by Dr. So-and-so, and then they went through this distilling process. This is the only distilling process ever known in the entire world, and then, of course, it was not put in plastic because essential oils will eat through plastic, so they has to be in glass bottles. So here's the benefit. Here's what our glass bottles are. They are brown. They are this. They are that. That's all features. That is ingredient geek. Those people are skinny because they're making no money. And they can't afford to eat. Okay? Because you're not, people don't give a rep about any of that crap. They want to know, what is this lavender going to do for me? We're coming up in the spring season where we have mosquitoes the size of birds in Minnesota. In fact, it is the state bird. You know how you get attacked around this time of year and end up getting bit and you're sick and tired of putting those harmful chemicals on your body and you smell like an insecticide and you're spraying your kid to smell like an insecticide and still you manage to get bit? You get that welt, you start swelling, your kid starts scratching, the pus starts oozing, their dirty fingers now infect those bites. Then they get a staph infection, and then you have to take them to the doctor, and now the doctor puts them on steroids. Do you see what I'm saying? I am pointing out the problem. I'm digging the problem even bigger. Those things were happening to me, and then I found this lavender, and oh my goodness, it smells amazing, but it takes the sting, it takes the itch, and it heals quickly. So would you rather deal with those chemicals that still don't work, where everyone stinks, things get infected? Or would you like things to smell better and at the same time bring healing and make sure that things don't get all nasty and infected? Can you see the difference? Okay. Features are the bottle, the color of the bottle, where it was made, what the ingredients are, how long it will last. Nobody gives a rip about that. They want to know, what does this do for me? Okay. So funnels, back to the funnels. So you're thinking about that same person that cares about this, right? Okay, well, they're not necessarily looking for a solution for bug bites. They're not looking for a solution for that. But we have to think in terms of what is people looking for? What is the general public looking for? She says financial freedom. Is that really what they're looking for, is financial freedom? Come on, Judy, what are people looking for? Okay. People are stressed out. And why are they stressed out?
Because of their finances.
Because of their money. They're stressed out because of they think they have a money problem. Right? The men think that if they made more money, their wife wouldn't bitch and complain as much, which is a lie. Total lie. She will. If she is a complainer, she's going to keep complaining no matter how much money you make. She is never going to be satisfied. She's greedy, and that has to change in her. That doesn't have to change in your paycheck. Period. Period. More women have driven their husbands into debt than the men have gotten themselves into debt. They've gone into debt to buy their wife a bigger house because she's complaining, because she's coveting the neighbor's house. So she's never satisfied. So, you know, here he goes, off to work. And it's a thankless situation for him, sadly. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible cycle. And then he gives up and he starts playing video games. Or checks himself into a mental hospital. Yeah, that happens too. Or he turns to the bottle or he turns to porn. And then she blames him. It's all his fault. Never looking in the mirror going, whoa. It takes two to tango. What seed did I plant to create this circumstance? So it's both people's faults. He's responsible for his choices. She's responsible for hers. Yes, amen is right. Anyway, so the funnel. People largely right now really care about money, right? And they're under a lot of stress and pressure. We're in a very unique place in the world right now. This wasn't the case 20 years ago. Debt wasn't a problem 20 years ago. Today, it's a massive problem. Hello, what's our national debt in the U.S.? $21 trillion. Do you know what the consumer debt is? Real close to the same. For reals. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Okay, so the debt is weighing heavy on the populace. People are stressed out about the debt. They have to solve this problem. They don't know how to solve this problem. They keep making the problem bigger without even realizing they're making it bigger. So let's go here. Prospecting and building a business and building a family is much like fishing. Does anybody here fish? Okay. So if you're going to go fishing, what do you put on the end of the hook? Bait. What kind of bait do you put on the end of the hook? Whatever the fish likes, because sturgeon likes different bait than trout. So it depends on the fish you're trying to catch. So you need to determine who are you trying to catch. Sharks eat something different than whales. Do you understand? So what fish are you trying to catch? You need to be very specific about what kind of fish you're trying to catch. It was really interesting on my last prospecting class. I asked a woman that, like, what are you trying to catch? Who are you trying to recruit? She's like, I'm looking for. I'm like, who are you looking for? You got to be really specific about this. I'm looking for someone who is passionate, and I'm looking for someone who really cares about, you know, changing the world, and somebody who is committed and diligent to making that happen. And I said, it sounds like you're starting a church. What you're going to end up recruiting is a bunch of whining, passionate women who don't do anything besides scream from the mountaintops about everything that's wrong. So who are you looking for? I'm looking for people who are like me, who are willing to struggle for a long time and still persist. I'm like, all right, so you're going to end up with a bunch of people who are going to struggle for a long time and still persist and not get results. Who are you looking for? What's a winner at what? There's a lot of people who think they're winners. Someone knows how to produce results. So what produces results? Someone who is diligent. Someone that is teachable. Yes, these are all great characteristics, but what skill set do they need?
Being able to pick up the phone.
Yeah, someone who can pick up the frickin' phone. Someone who can read a script. Someone who can follow protocols and procedures. Wow. Someone who has a baseline of good communication skills. Right? Okay, Carlos is a contractor, and if he's looking for workers, what is he looking for? He's looking for specialized skill set as well as character. There's certain kind of character of who he wants to work with that's going to be a part of his team. So then the question is, where are these people and what are they looking for? Where do they hang out? Where do I advertise for them? Okay, so there's some of you that can be writing articles for your local newspaper, and that's part of a funnel. You could actually be blogging, which is part of a funnel. You're writing information, you're creating information and drawing attraction that fits the ideal person that you're actually looking for. Okay? It's very powerful and it works really well. So you could be writing about topics. Our website's filled with it. The show, that's what the show is. The show is a wide net that, okay, we talk about money on Monday, and we're just talking about money. It eventually leads into a funnel that brings them here. Okay, we talk about family. Why? Because that's what our ideal customer has. They have a family in general. So, and they're frustrated. They're hardworking. They're teachable. They want more out of life. They're struggling in their life. And so we talk about the struggle and we bring solutions. And that is part of a funnel. So for example, does your ideal person that you're looking for have debt? More than likely they have debt. If you say they don't have debt, then guess what? You have a very small market that you're looking for. Very, very small market that you're looking for, okay? So if your opportunity helps people to get out of debt, then that means you're looking for people with debt. So you don't have to use your product to advertise your product. You could use something totally different that is having the conversation about that people who want to get out of debt, people who are looking for solutions to get out of debt. So this is why so many of our clients have war on debt classes in their local community. How do they do that? They press play in front of people. They don't teach war on debt themselves. They literally gather a bunch of people. This is the top of the funnel. They gather a bunch of people under the conversation of what matters to the fish. Helping the fish get what they want. Okay? So they're gathering people amongst bait that matters to the majority of the people. Okay, I've also had people do that with grooming the next generation for success. So if your ideal customer is a mom with children, right, who is conscious and cares about grooming her children to succeed, she's a conscious mother. She's not a Facebooking mother. Okay, she's not an Instagram mother. She is a conscious mother. She's a deliberate mother. She's a diligent mother. She's a focused mother. She takes her job very seriously in training up the next generation. She is actively a homeschooling mother even, right? That a homeschooling mom is a very committed mom, a very sacrificial mom, very, very sacrificial. So that kind of a woman is true. I understand. I did it for years. And those days are over. Those days are over. It's like insane commitment, right? So this is not, you know, lazy Susan who's got her nose buried in fashion. Do you understand? That's not, I mean, that might be the customer you're looking for, but it depends on your business model and what you're looking for. But if you're looking for a worker, lazy Susan buried in fashion is not your customer.
Well, she might be your customer, but not your business builder.
No, she might not even be your customer. Because what customers is she going to bring to you, if any? She's lazy. Lazy Susan. Who cares about fashion? Oh my God. Did you see what the Kardashians are wearing? I'm so sorry. She can be someone else's freaking customer. She's not mine. I'm looking for workers. I'm looking for commitment. I'm looking for people who have influence. I'm looking for people who know how to influence other people for greatness. Not lazy Susan, the Kardashians. No. Who's taking 15 selfies of herself every single day? No. Get a freaking life. Get a freaking life. You can be someone else's customer. They'll be happy to take your freaking money. I am looking for women and men who are serious about changing the world. I am looking for men and women who are conscious and awake, who are not going to let their life waste away into an oblivion of debt and addictions and shopping and lifelessness and complaining and shopping and shopping and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and complaining. No. Go be somebody else's customer. I'm looking for people who are serious. I'm looking for people who are committed. I'm looking for people who know how to be loyal. I'm looking for people who know how to demonstrate that loyalty. I'm looking for people who are going to refer people. Those are conscious people. Those are people who care. Those are people who are awake.
Yes, that's awesome.
You're getting rid of Mrs. Sophie?
Like, so there's a few lazy Susans in the room, I'm sure, who are going to write us a bad review.
Have fun, honey.
Because I am not your entertainer. I am a coach. I am not an entertainer. Okay, you can have fun with everybody else's entertaining. You go ahead. Who cares what Jennifer Aniston is wearing and what side her hair is parted on? Ridiculous. So even for you, right? Linda Podgater is in the fashion business. She's not looking for lazy Susan. Not at all. She is not looking for lazy Susan. She's looking for committed, conscious women who want to make a difference in the world, who consciously want to set an example for beauty. Beauty for their husbands, beauty for the world. We've lost beauty in America. We have. We've lost it. Beauty in America today is saggy freaking sweats, greasy, messy bun, a ball cap, and a minivan. It's gross. Not showering but once a week. No makeup. Bedhead every day. That's the average American woman today. Doesn't put anything into herself anymore. Raising kids who have weight problems. Unconscious. Walking dead. Okay, so... anyway, so you're looking for people with problems. Debt is a problem, but you're looking for people who are serious about getting rid of it. So in the case with grooming the next generation for success, we've had women use that as a funnel, holding grooming the next generation for success classes in their home or at the local library or at school. We've had guys do it, not women. I'm sorry. The first person to ever do it was Patrick Clunan, who is a man, a businessman, a landscape architect. A very successful businessman who went to his kids' Christian school, 600 students, started Press and Play there. Did it before the board, then brought the students, all the teachers, the administration. He had over 1,000 people go through Grooming the Next Generation for Success and held these classes every year for several years. Then did War on Debt. Then did GEMS. So GEMS is another one. Those are home study courses that you can catch fish with. Right? It's solving the problems that people are having. Okay, well, let me ask you. How many of you have challenges and stress from home and from kids? I am so sorry. I'm just flashing left and right today. Am I? Oh, good. You guys can't see it. That's perfect. Let's just keep the camera right there, Isaiah. Or is that Rachel? Yeah. Oh, thanks, baby girl. That's my daughter-in-law back there covering my butt because this will certainly offend a few people. If you were to see my back, it would really offend you.
Thank you.
Anyway, the funnel. So you see what the fish want. You press play for what they want. You're attracting them with a message they care about. Okay? You attract through a message they care about. So that could be GEMS, the facilitator course. You get the facilitator course, you press play, there's workbooks that go with it. War on Debt, there's workbooks that go with it. You have them buy that $10 workbook, you're pressing play. Weekly, you're having this meeting, you're holding yourself accountable, hedging your weakness. Accountability with your neighbors, your friends, your family members, your coworkers. Do you understand? So now we're holding each other accountable, but now you're fishing in a totally different pond, and this is a conscious person who's looking for solutions, who's actively committed to do something. That's the characteristics of the kind of customer that you want to work with, and it's the characteristics of the kind of employee you want to work with. It's the characteristics of the kind of person you want to recruit into your business. So now this is creating a new database, if you will. You are being exposed for whatever business it is that you have. You're representing your brand nonetheless. You're not going to talk about it the first time. You're not going to talk about it the second time. But now because you're drawing these people, you're having a chance to form them. So you're forming them, and what are you finding? Strengths, interests, needs, and goals. So when we go fishing, come on, cast. You reel back real slowly. You feel, hey, not all of you cast it. Try again. I am not here entertaining you. We are working together. One more time. That was a crappy cast. I can see you in the back. Come on now. I got you. Boom. I see you, baby. What happens when you feel a little nibble? You jerk it back. Let me tell you what amateurs do. They grab the bait out of their little tackle thing. Frick, it's my pocket. They grab the bait. They reach into the water. They grab that fish. And they shove it down their mouth. That was yesterday on the stage with Abby. The second example, shoving my skincare, shoving my real estate, shoving my oils, shoving my business down her throat. No, you win the, come on. You feel a little nibble, what do? So on week one, you're forming them and you're grooming the next gen class, or in your GEMS class, or your job domination class, or your war on debt class. You're forming them. In your Bible study of spirit-driven success. In your weekly book club of First Steps to Wealth. Of your weekly Bible study, of all the spiritual equipping content that is always going to be about money, family, and work. All the teaching is always going to be geared towards your leadership and finances and family. So here's, there's a huge library of spiritual equipping, enormous. So you want to have a weekly Bible study? Everyone comes over, you press play. People take notes afterwards, you have a debrief. What are three things that you just pulled from that message that you're going to apply this week? Next week you meet up and you say, okay, what three things did you do last week that you said you were going to do? How did it work? And then press play again. That's all funnels. Because who comes to a Bible study? It's people who are hungry to learn. It's people who are committed. It's people who have a focus. Do you understand? It's not lazy Susan on Facebook. Okay, do you understand? So there's the vast majority of the people who call themselves believers don't do any spiritual training or equipping on themselves. They're not committed. They bought their fire insurance. They show up on Sunday and think they're going to heaven. They're going to have a rude awakening. Perhaps. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is I hope I make it through the gates at this point because I'm not sure. And I don't ever want to be sure, to be honest with you. Make me lazy like everybody else who shows up on Sunday with their fire insurance. Anyway, so what I'm saying is that people who attend classes are a little bit more of the cream off the top. It's a committed person who is growing. Do you understand? So it isn't the lazy person who's looking for a handout and looking for someone else to do everything for them. Okay? So you have those funnels. You're filling a need. When you're forming them and when you find that there is a specific need that you personally can fill, you keep them curious. You do not just go, "Wah!" You keep them curious. And at the right opportunity moment, you'll say, you know, I couldn't help but noticing, which, by the way, is in the script book. We have a script book. We have two script books, actually, that have scripts for sales, scripts for leaving a voicemail message to get a phone call back, scripts for closing, scripts for handling objections, all right? So on page 38 of the first script book, that script book has a script that I used on Abby on the stage. Same script that's in that book on page 38. That's a script you need to memorize. If you memorize that script, you will constantly be adding to your list of resources, okay? By the way, that's another form of exposure, isn't it? So what I did with Abby yesterday was a form of exposure. So I'm at Walmart, right? I'm in somebody else's pond, okay? There's humans in that pond. So now I'm forming and I'm getting the opportunity to expose. So my phone call the next day with Abby at 8 a.m., as she told me that's the time that I should call her, then I'm going to read page 40 and 41 and 42 in that script book. And it's a simple little script that you just read. You book an appointment. She either, if you have a website you want them to look at, you send them to the website. Or if it's a one-on-one presentation you want to do, then you set an appointment for a one-on-one presentation with that person. Okay? It's in my pocket. Anyway, so look for opportunities for funnels that you can be creating. They're really simple. I just gave you four really easy options of how to draw committed people into your center of influence. And then through form, now you have gems, right? So with gems, now you know what personality they are. So now when you make the connection with them, so by the way, after the exposure, then there's a conversation. And this is a more pointed conversation. This conversation should be with a script out of the script book. All right? So that conversation, so again, here we get their attention. You attract them through some kind of messaging that fits them. Out of all of those, let's say that respond, right? So you might say, okay, I'm going to call 10 or 15 people, 5 show up. Right? You called 10 or 15 to invite them. Okay? Less show up. Okay? Why? It's supposed to be that way. So then so let's say that after you have this initial conversation, you do a presentation, which is number 3. And in a presentation, after the presentation, even less get started. Even less vote with their dollar, yes, say less, say yes. Let's say you have 10 at a presentation, 5 say yes. That's a 50% closing ratio, which is pretty high. You might end up with one person that says yes. Out of the one that says yes, the next step is a follow-up, which is the beginning of mobilizing those people. So then after somebody says yes, then you have those that now take action. This funnel is supposed to be getting skinnier. Okay, so then you have less that take action, Let's say there's 10 people that say yes, but you have like two that actually take action. Two that actually show commitment. Two that actually do something, okay? After the follow-up, this is the beginning of duplication. Let me just leave it right here. Let's talk about this. Let's stay right here. In business, in life, raising kids, in everything, there's one particular skill that you got to leave here with. If you're going to pass the ball to somebody, if you're going to take the shot, you got to follow your shot. If you're going to take the shot, you got to follow your shot. This is how I was the highest scorer and highest rebounder. Because when I would take a shot, I knew, well, first of all, professionals miss more than half of their shots. So for any of us to think that we're going to have a 90% like sink it rate, nice job. You played, and I loved it. I love it. So if you think that 100% of your shots are going to go through, you're foolish. You're a fool. 100% of your shots are not going to go through. But the way that I ensured my shot and how I became the number one scorer is that I followed my shot, knowing it wasn't going to go in. So number one rebounder, number one shooter. How was I the number one shooter? Because I hit every shot? No, because I chased the ball that wasn't going to go in. I got closer to the bucket and put it in. I caught my own rebound and sunk the ball. Number one rebounder, number one shooter. You're not connecting the dots. Listen, people do this. Well, I invited them to come. They didn't show up. You didn't follow your shot. But I sent them an email. I haven't heard back from them. You didn't follow your shot. Just because you send an email does not mean they got it. Doesn't mean they read it. Doesn't mean they're responding to it. Doesn't mean they understood it. That's the facts. So just because you sold somebody your product doesn't mean they opened the package. Doesn't mean they used it. Doesn't mean they got the benefit from it. So how do you ensure that they're going to get the benefit from it? You have to follow your shot. You have to follow your shot. So how you ensure more success comes out of your funnel is by following your shot. So you have to assume that majority of the people that you sell your product to or that you even expose the opportunity to, most of them don't catch it the first time. You didn't catch it the first time. So most people don't catch it the first time, so you have to assume they're not going to get it the first time, which is why you have to follow your shot. You have to stay in front of them. You have to stay in front of them. And sometimes they have to hear the same message again and again and again and again before they actually get the message. So if you expose one time, this is not success. That's like I shot the ball one time and I missed it. I suck at it. I can't do it. In fact, I shot the ball to Carlos and he missed it. I'm never shooting it to him again. Rubies. Emeralds. Do you understand? Pearls. I shot the ball 100 times to Carlos and he still hasn't got it. I guess I'll do it 200 more times and 300 more times because I'm afraid to fire his ass. Right? The pearls and the sapphires. The pearls and the sapphires create failure for the person because they don't realize he's not a good ball handler. Find a different role for him. He's not in the right place, not in the right sport. Do you understand? Not in the right game. So if they're not getting it, get the person off of that task and move them to where their strength is. That's what it is for me, for example. I'm not a manager. Hate managers. Hate managing. Sorry, I don't hate managers. I love people who can manage because I suck at managing. I do. I absolutely suck at managing. I freaking suck at it. I'm an equipper. I give you an opportunity. I see what you do with it. I give you freedom. Let me see what you do with it. I want to see where your natural tendency is to go and your natural tendency to do. I want to see how you think and how you run with the ball. Once I see that, then I know where to put you. So I don't have to manage you. So if you don't do anything with it, now you tell me that you need a manager. And that person is not me. Okay, so you have to follow your shot. When you get somebody, a customer, you can't assume that just because your product shipped there that they actually got it. So how you create great service is through following your shot. Follow it all the way through. Again, just because you sent an email does not mean they got it, doesn't mean they read it, doesn't mean they understood it. How you're going to rise up and give better service than everybody else is you follow up through the phone. Follow up through the phone. The email sucks. People hate it. It's a crutch. It's your cane. Okay? Let's pop down to, because we already talked about the conversation. We talked a lot about that yesterday. You learned about gems, how to communicate with different types of personalities, right? So how do I plug that in even to my presentation? I'm going to make sure in my presentation that I am talking to all four gems if I'm talking to a group of people. I'm going to mention things about being number one and the best. I'm going to mention things about helping people and serving people. I'm going to mention how fun it is to actually work in this kind of environment. I'm going to talk about the efficiency of our organization and the productivity of the organization. I just talked to all four gems. Okay? So if I'm in a room of people, I'm going to talk to all four gems. If I'm doing a one-on-one presentation and I'm talking to a sapphire, my presentation is going to be fun. My presentation is going to be pointing out all the fun. All the fun benefits of the fun. It's going to be talking about all the fun people we get to work with. And I'm going to show a picture of the woman with the pink hair. Okay, do you understand? So that's how my presentation is going to be. If I'm doing a phone call and I'm reading a script, I am going to point out to my pearl, I'm going to speak that pearl inside of that script. And I'm going to repeat back to her all the pearl things that matter to her. That's what I'm going to point out to her. Okay? So you use gems in your Facebooking. You use gems in your Instagram. You use gems in your communication, your blogs. You use gems inside of your advertising that you're writing for your exposure. Right? So if my advertisement says wanted, three driven, competitive people who like to get results now. Do you understand? Looking for some fun, loving people that like to create an amazing atmosphere. People that like to talk to people. Okay? Looking for diligent, hardworking, focused, determined people who are dependable. Looking for people that like to nourish clients and help them and to bring peace into an environment and help. Looking for loyal, wonderful people who love to serve others. You connect in the dots, okay? So that's how you can be writing Facebook posts, ads, Okay, now, and I had a guy who was a multimillionaire today, and still, like, he has made millions and millions and millions of dollars, who came through First Step Success, took Gems and Form to the internet. And through Gems and Form, the guy made millions of dollars after being broke for years. Because he started communicating through his fingertips. And so even in the questionnaires that he would create, so he could create a database, and he would be fishing to find out what people's needs were, he used Form. And then he wrote his ads according to the gems that he was fishing for. You should be doing that. You should be doing that. Okay? So with following up, okay, there's lots of... Follow-up is really important. I have to tell you, you've heard this before, the fortune is in the follow-up. And 98% of the population will not follow up. And it's because they are afraid of rejection, fear of which we can't find anywhere in the room. Can't find it. It's not on your body. It's not physical. There's no evidence of it. Right? Okay, so with this is why most people fail is because they don't follow up. They don't follow their shot. So when you say, well, no, I sent them an email, you look like an idiot. You look like an idiot. Well, no, they never called me back. They never called me back. So when somebody says that, when someone says, well, they never called me back, what are you? Thank you. You're a victim. You just told your boss, you just told your coworkers, you just told your husband I'm a victim. They never called me back. I left a message, they never called me back. So freaking call them again! And again, and again, and again, and again! They didn't return my phone call. Victim, come on, do this. Then you can do this. Me. That should be a meme. Me. Follow your shot. So let's talk about ways to follow the shot, okay? I will tell you, this is something that we're doing, okay? We have a department inside of our office, and this is a test, but this is what we do. So somebody places an order on our website, we call them the day that the order gets placed. And we call them and we say, thank you. How many of you had a thank you call from us? Okay, so look around the room. These people have had a thank you call. So they place an order, we call them and we say, thank you. Thank you so much. Hey, we noticed you placed your order. Just want to let you know we have received it and it is on its way. According to our records, it says it should be delivered on April the 26th. We're going to call you on that day to make sure that you got it and everything was in working order exactly how you wanted it. How would you feel getting that phone call? Who calls you to say, hey, we got it, it's on its way? Nobody calls you to say that. So how many of you wonder, well, I hope it's coming. When you place an order, how many are like, I hope it's coming? Right? You get a tracking number, and how many of you track it to make sure it's actually going to show up, right? So we're doing that for you. So we're calling you saying, thank you so much, we got it. It's in our system. It's on its way. It's going to be delivered by Exynet. We're going to call you on that day to make sure you got it and that it was perfect the way that you ordered it, to make sure you got it the way you wanted it. That's called service. Okay? So we call on that next day. Did you get it? Is it in working order? Is it exactly the way you wanted it? Okay, perfect. Meanwhile, we're forming them. We're forming them. We're still building a rapport, still building a relationship. Write this down. Relationship first, business follows. If you can help other people get what they want, you get what you want. They wanted something. They ordered something. We want to make sure that we get it to them. Okay? Number two, we also want to give them something else that they want, which is attention, honor, respect, a feeling of importance. We want to make them feel special. We want to highlight who they are. We want them to be appreciated. So this is what we do with a phone call. And hello? If we're just depending on email, how many of you do not open all your emails that you get? Look around the room, please. Look around the room. Look around the frickin' room. Wait, let me ask a better question. Is there anybody here that opens every single email they get? 1, 2, 3. I'm not saying from us. I'm saying every single email you get from anybody. You open all your junk mail. You open all email. Frick, man, I'm just hanging out everywhere. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 6 people out of nearly 1,000 people that open every single email. 6! What does that tell you? What does that tell you if 6 out of this entire room, only 6, open their email? What does that tell you? That tells you that email is not the most dependable way to communicate. That tells you that majority of the people that you're emailing are not opening the email. That's what it tells you. So stop being a fool and depending on it. Stop being a fool. Say what? Okay. So he says, by the way, hi, so good to see you. And Laura and the kids, my gosh, they're growing so much. How crazy. I love watching people's families grow. Okay. So what about texting? Yes, texting can work, but at the same time, how many of you get a lot of text messages? Okay. How many of you feel pressure when you get too many text messages? So there are some text messages I still haven't opened. There is. So sometimes I would say do a balance of it. Okay. Now, here's what happens. When people think the only reason why you're calling is because you're trying to sell them something, they're not going to answer you. Right? So that's what I'm telling you. Listen, you want to use online and digital very strategically, but it cannot be your crutch. It is only to attract the exposure, right? But after that, take it to the phone. Take it to handwritten cards. Take it to handwritten cards. And here's why. People still long, even though we are in the digital age, people still long for the personal touch. They still long for that. So let me show you this. So at the same time that we are, at the same time that we're calling our customer to say, we got your order, thank you, want to let you know that we did get it, it's on its way, it's supposed to be delivered here. When our team hangs up the phone, they write a thank you card, handwritten. How many of you have gotten a handwritten thank you card from our team? Look around the room, look around the room, look around the room. How did you feel when you got a handwritten thank you card from us? How many of you felt special when you got a handwritten card from us? Yeah, look at that. He says, you loved me. You loved me. You sent me a handwritten card, okay? So as soon as they hang up, they're writing a thank you card to that person. And what are they putting in that card? Well, if they are following once the training is full, I will say that. Once the training is full, and everyone is on board and doing what I've directed them to do. When they make that first phone call, they're forming them. So while they're forming them, now in that card, I really enjoyed hearing about Joey's soccer game. Can't wait to hear if he won. Now we're going to personalize it versus just, thank you, Bob Smith, for your order. We at DannyJohnson.com truly appreciate your business. We need it to be personalized. We've had people literally post their thank you card on Facebook. Yes. We have had people take a picture of the thank you card and post it on Facebook and Instagram. What is that? That's exposure and that's a personal referral. Do you understand? So make it personalized. You need to say something. There's like 300 people that need to say something, but I'm going to have you say whatever it is you need to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I had...
Tell your 30-second story, please.
Okay. My name is Jeremy. I'm from Alabama. Prior to plugging in, I felt like I was at a dead end in my job. Didn't know how I could go any further with it. Our marriage was on autopilot. We had a good relationship, but not a great relationship. Since plugging in, we've paid off over $28,000 in debt in the last 14 months. I figured out how I could double my income at my job. My wife has tripled her income in her home-based business. We've improved our marriage. Our marriage is, you know, like we're back on our honeymoon again. We're expecting number six in 2 weeks. And have seen extended family relationships that had been completely broken to where my in-laws had not met my three youngest children because that relationship was so broken for over 10 years. And we celebrated Christmas with my in-laws all together as a family. So,
awesome.
My story that I wanted to share is I got, about a month ago, I rented a car for a ski trip that I was going on. And 3 days after I went in to reserve the car, I got a handwritten note in the mail from the woman at the counter that had taken my reservation. And she said, you know, thank you so much for coming in and reserving the car. I hope your ski trip is wonderful and you have a great trip. And I need to rent a car for this trip. Where did I go?
Same
right
place.
Back to the same place.
Same place. Yeah. Got it? Do you understand? Everyone is now dependent on the digital world, and that's where they're screwing up. So you've got to be high tech and high touch. Don't just depend on one. If you're going to depend on one, I would depend on high touch more than I would on high tech. But if you're going to do technical things, digital things, you've got to take it from the digital to the personal, to the handwritten, to the phone calls. Okay? Don't let fear be your compass. People crack me up, well, I'm afraid to talk on the phone. BS, you've been talking on the phone your whole freaking life. It's such a lie. Okay, I have a dentist who calls to follow up with me after I've had some kind of treatment with him. He does. I had a crown one time that somebody else screwed up, so he fixed it. Called me 2 days later. Hey, how's it going? How are you feeling? You feeling okay? I'm like, wow. I love this guy. Do you know how many people I've sent my office to him? I've talked about him on Facebook. My electrician who is amazing, John Mayhall and his wife. I mean, these people are amazing. In my tiny little town, man, I have told everybody that I know. John's the only guy you want to do any electrical stuff. You can totally trust him. He's not going to gouge you. He's hardworking. He's super dependable. He's amazing. Awesome to work with. Their entire team is awesome. So these tiny little jobs that he did for us, because he was so personal and so amazing, and then he also didn't gouge us, he now is doing the house that my husband is building. Yes. In fact, he's managing 50 jobs right now. 50. He's working on 50 projects right now. Yes. Okay, so thank you cards are hugely important. Hugely important. So if you're not following up, you're totally missing the boat, like completely missing the boat. So, Arlene Summers, where are you? Oh, that's too bad. So freaking sad. Jack, thank you so much. I'm not going to say what you did because I don't want 50 other people doing it. Hungary. Budapest, Hungary. Is it Dorota? Robert Ochoa. Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you. Okay, Arlene Summers is not here. That's tragic. I have to give this to someone on my team. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it. So, thank you, cards. We write thousands of them every single year. Thousands of them. Remember yesterday I told you, I'm going to tell you what we do. I'm going to show you how to have not the best of skill, and all of your mistakes get to get covered because of a few things you do right. I suck at a lot of things, especially as a speaker. I suck at a lot of things. But there's a few things that we do right. There's a few things that have caused rooms to get filled. Rooms to get filled when the economy crashes, and rooms to be filled when the economy is good. Do you understand? What works is personal relationship. What works is that special touch. What works is not Motel 6 service, but Ritz-Carlton service in the best way that you can. That's what works. And taking that to the home as well as the office and in your community. So making people feel special and important, that's what we do our very best to be good at. So we don't try to be good at everything. Okay, we just don't. I am not going to please you and dress the way you think I should dress. Okay, I am not an eloquent speaker. I'm not. I'm not a polished presenter. I'm not, and I'm not going to be. I would have lasted 3 events if that's the kind of prison that I was supposed to be in. Because that's a prison for me. I'm not a 30-minute keynote speaker either. We're going to be here for a long freaking time talking. Do you understand? We're going to go to work. You're going to get punched in the gut a few times if you're around me. And why? Because I'm going to punch you out of your freaking comfort zone so you move your life forward. I'm not going to have you. I'm not going to speak Christianese to you. I suck at that stuff. I'm not gonna. So I have some beliefs maybe you don't share. Good. I'm not going to try to customize myself to please everybody in the room. This is who we are. We've done a few things really well, and that's what has helped us to become really, really successful. So follow up, follow through, follow your shot. Thank you cards are very important to people. They're very important. Come on, look what that gentleman said. You loved me. You guys got a thank you card from someone on our team. You loved me. That's what that communicates. And what does everybody want? They want to be loved. So when you have a good prospect on the phone, let's say you haven't been able to close that deal yet. It's okay that you didn't close that deal yet. Follow up. Send a thank you card about the conversation that you had with them. Tell them how much you enjoyed hearing them talk about, write down what they talked about. Put an alert in your phone to call them again. Put an alert in your phone to call them again and again and again. If there's someone that's got talent that you want to work with, keep following up. I promise you. I've gone to the strangest places on this globe because of people listening to that advice I just gave, and they used it on me. How did I ever end up in Latvia? How did I ever end up in Finland? How did I ever end up in Australia? Give me a break. Why? Because those people sat in this freaking room and just went, all right, and wrote. How did I end up doing a seminar in London? People following that process that I just gave you and persisted until I came. It works. I think I just screwed something up, but that's okay. Go pee. 15 minutes. Goodbye. Wait, there we go. I'm on. Okay. How many of you are not in here?
I'm gonna go yell.
The room's not full, and I was gonna ask a question. So. All right, I snuck in a step because I missed a step. Like I told you, I'm not a perfect, polished speaker. So number 4 is close. Yeah, that's why I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. When I was like, number 6 and 7, wait a second, I'm missing one. Anyway, so we're going to talk about closing right now, okay, for a few minutes. Ay. I have an itchy. Okay. Sorry. That's good. It's good. Yeah, I'm a good screw up for sure. I'm really good at screwing up.
We all are. You're exactly right. Isn't that great? We all are great at screwing up. We're going to continue to be great at screwing up, too. The key is to know how to fix it, to make it right when you screw up. The key is not screwing up. We're humans. Yeah, own it. I messed that up. So I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I forgot a step, especially you emeralds. Now you have to erase or draw a line and an arrow. Or if you're like me, you're going to rewrite the whole thing. So, yeah. So I apologize for that speed bump. I truly apologize for the speed bump. How many of you did your homework from yesterday? Who did not do their homework from yesterday? Yeah, form 10 people. You were supposed to form 10 people yesterday. Who formed 10 people yesterday? Okay. All right. Was it easier than you thought it was going to be? Okay, so that exercise is to help you break through the fear. The acronym of FORM, how many of you found the sign? You started to hear the sign that people had. Okay, cool. The more you do that, the easier that gets. Here's what's key with that is don't stop doing that. When you stop, it's harder to start again. Whenever you stop doing something, it's harder to restart. It's like working out. It's like eating healthy. When you stop eating healthy, one day, all right, you binge, okay? But when you go to 2 and 3 days in a row, it's so hard to go back. How many have ever quit sugar before? Or let's say stopped sugar before. So if you've stopped sugar before and then you went back to a day of eating it, but then you got back on track again, was it easier from just one screw up of one day? Yes, but when you go 2 and 3 days of screwing up, now the sugar's in your veins and now your body's craving it all over again. Thus the Snicker bar. You know what my reward is tonight on my way to the airport? Nope. Yep. One whole bag. One whole bag of organic white cheddar Cheetos. You put one on your tongue and you just go, it's just like. They leave all kinds of stuff in your teeth. Just for hours, you just keep eating them Cheetos. Long after the bag is gone. Yep. That's my reward. Please do not send me any Cheetos. Please do not send me any books. Please don't send me any gifts. Please don't send me any cards. Please just go home and pay off your debt. Okay? And if you absolutely have to give me something, give it to kingsransom.org. Give it to the poor. That blesses me more than any gift you can ever give me. Please, don't write me a card. I'm like a year behind on reading them. Thousands of them come in every single year. Thousands of, someone went, oh, you got that right. Boxes. And I have to read them all. I found a $2,000 check in one time. And I was 3 years behind that time. Yeah, someone wrote a $2,000 check. I'm like, awesome. The check obviously expired. No, because then they would know that I didn't read their card. But they didn't get a thank you card for writing a $2,000 check either. Right? It was bad. They know I didn't cash it, obviously. Well, maybe not. I know who the person is, so it was an emerald. So. It was an emerald. Anyway,
Okay, how many of you did your homework of forming 10 people? Give yourselves a hand. Good job. The point of forming people has multiple different benefits. Number one is that you're fishing, okay? You're fishing for someone that you can help to succeed, right? Looking to make connections for them from your contacts and their contacts. Building relationship first, business will follow. Not only business will follow, but it might be that your future son-in-law or daughter-in-law is behind that person. Okay, it could be that a job offer is behind that person. It could be that there's a customer behind that person for your product line. Do you understand? Every person represents contacts, money, and opportunity, and someone you can bless, someone that you can either bring opportunity to or somebody that's going to bring opportunity to you. All right, so we want to be forming people everywhere all the time. Okay, forming everybody everywhere all the time. One day a week, don't form anybody. One day a week, take a day of rest. One day a week, chillax. Don't focus on any business. Don't focus on building anything. Just sleep, eat the leftover stale pizza in the fridge. My day that I do that is on Saturday. Friday night starts with a big party. Saturday is the day we sleep. I don't get out of my pajamas or sweats or whatever till there's a date night generally on Saturday that I'm attempting to negotiate out of that. I'm attempting to present an opportunity to my husband that Thursday nights should be our date night. I'm not winning yet. I'm going to try a different strategy next week. He's pretty stubborn, so I'm not so sure I'm gonna get my request fulfilled. And it's okay if I don't. I hold it loosely. All right. So close. Now I want you to leave home. I wanted you to leave home with this understanding that exposure is something that we've got to be doing everywhere all the time. If we're not doing it, we're not growing. Okay. And if we have a small list, we have a small opportunity list. Okay, and we have more problems. The smaller our list, the more problems we have. So you want to build that. Each one of these I can teach for an entire day on. Every single one of these I can teach for an entire day on. Right now we're running prospecting and closing classes. Who's in those classes? Okay, awesome. So this is an accountability class. It's a working class. They're having to submit numbers to me every single week. And I'm coaching them on their ability to... I know you hear that. You can't hear that? It's back there. Okay, cool. Awesome. And here it's coming back. Love it when that. Oh, you're saying it's the airport. It's a frequency thing. Okay. Anyway, so closing. So each one of these things, like I said, I've taught for an entire day on before. We have those in training materials inside of the DJU. Presentations. Who are managers in here? You're in management? Okay, you do presentations all the time. Your meetings are presentations. And so if you want them to be effective, you should set them up in the form of a presentation and showing up with an intent of what you want to accomplish in that meeting and closing that meeting with deadlines, but getting buy-in from your team. So this is a really important step for anyone that's in any kind of leadership. And same for parents. Because you are constantly presenting ideas that you're leading your children with. And there's a system called Presentation Success System. It's a two-hour training, like very detailed training on how to do that. So let's talk about closing. If I could have you leave with something today when it comes to closing, it would be this. My initial close when I first got started, and here I'm a homeless woman, was stories. And this is really important. Facts tell, stories sell. Facts tell, stories sell. And so the best kind of close that you could ever bring is always have an arsenal of testimonials. Because testimonials actually move people's hearts and minds to a yes. This is why infomercials are so powerful. Infomercials are powerful because of all the testimonials. Testimonials are the benefits. They show the benefits of the company or the product. Is the story. And I know some of you are in the pet business. You're like, what story do I tell about my pet? Okay. There is a story to tell about the pet. There is, if your product works, your product is getting results for the pets, but actually it's how the pet owner feels. It's how the pet owner feels about what they're putting into the pet's body. Do you understand? So you want to tap into feelings because that's what moves people. Feelings move people. So the best clothes to use is, you know, is telling stories and asking for the sale. And you're like, that scares the crap out of me. In the script book, there's a close, and it's asking questions. The answers then give the person the opportunity to share what they like about something. So the first closing question is, what did you like about what you just saw or what you heard, if you're doing some kind of a presentation? If you're presenting a bid on a job or you're presenting a business opportunity, what did you like about what you just heard? Number two, tell me more about that. So if you're on a job interview, same thing. If you're in your review on your job, if you have a quarterly review, you should be asking closing questions. So what have you liked about my performance over the last quarter? Tell me more about that. So you're drawing what the you're having that person sell themselves. Don't be a salesperson. Be one that draws decision out of people. You draw the decision out of people by asking questions about what matters most to them, and then you stay on that track of what matters to them. So what did you like about what you just saw? Tell me more about that. If it's a business opportunity, then it's, you know, do you want to make a little or a lot? If it's not a business opportunity, think about what is your next question. In fact, it just could be those first two questions. And then it's, okay, great. Are you ready to, and then you repeat their needs, strengths, interests, and goals back to them. You repeat to them what they said they liked about it. And you keep that focus on that. So let's say that it's, a situation where you're marketing a health product and they say, you say, okay, what did you like about what you just saw? Well, I liked that, I like the health benefits. Tell me more about that. Well, I've got these back problems and I got this neck problem and I got this foot problem and I have diabetes and I have. You know, I feel really bad, and so the idea that I might be able to fix those things is, like, really appealing to me. Great. Welcome aboard. Because they just said that they need to fix these problems. Do you understand? Great. Welcome aboard. What's the address you want the ship to? So you're helping them make the decision by drawing out of them what is important to them. Then you use what is important to them for a decision to be made. Okay? So you can't force a decision on somebody if you don't know what matters most to them. Does that make sense? Okay. Then what's important with that follow-up from the close is to set a time for that follow-up, to set a time to activate that person. I'm going to leave that right there. I had several questions about having... Hold on. Let me give you this. Goals and getting something done. I want to use the example of weight loss because I think it's a really simple example of how do you get something done? How do you do something hard and become successful at it? How many of you have ever tried to lose weight before? Okay. And how many of you have been able to do it successfully before? And how many of you have done it have been unsuccessful in it? All right. How many of you have set goals before that you've succeeded in? And how many of you have set goals that you haven't succeeded in? Okay, cool. All right. So it tells you that you know how to do that. Okay. So I want to give you from a close, for example, and remember I was talking about following your shot, all right? So when the shot isn't followed, there is no success. So let's use weight loss as a prime example, and I'll use my girlfriend Karen, I mean Carmen, who helped her mom Karen also lose weight. She looks freaking unbelievable. Anyway, so what's important is that you set up bite-sized pieces. First of all, someone has to have a vision of where they want to go. If they don't have a vision for where they want to go, and you have to draw that vision out of the person. So it's the same if you are a manager of entry-level people, or if you are a leader of a sales force, if you don't know where they want to go, you can't help them get there. And you can't assume that they want to go where you want to go. Do you hear me? You can't assume they want to go where you want to go. So stop trying to lead them where you want them to go. They won't go where you want them to go. They're going to go where they want to go. All right? So unless you ask these kinds of questions of, so what do you want to do with this? Where do you want to go? What's the main reason why you're with us? Okay? What do you like about your job? What do you not like about your job? What is your vision for your job? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Okay? People will own this path for themselves. They will go and do what they want to do. How many of you tried to lead people to do what you want them to do? How well is it working? It sucks, doesn't it? Okay? It does. It totally sucks. So I would say stop doing things like that and start pulling out of them what it is that they desire to do. So then you break it down real simple. So they tell you what they want to do, what they like about what they're doing, what they feel they're good at, what they feel their strengths are. Now you lead them with that. And you can lead them with that through the processes that have to be done on that job. So it literally is just a shift in its positioning in their mind that now they see it. For example, a pearl will say, okay, you ask a pearl, and let's say they work in data entry. What do you like about what you do? Well, I like serving and I like helping the company get all these things done. Okay, great. All right. So where do you see yourself 5 years from now? I want you to ask yourself that question. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? And if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do with your life? So if it's a weight loss situation, we're going to say, okay, how much weight do you want to lose? I want to lose 50 pounds. Okay, great. So what's the main reason you have for wanting to lose weight? You have to get underneath the initial goal to find the reason for the goal. Okay, you got to get underneath it to find what is the real motivator. The initial answer is never the original motivator. You get underneath it and you find out, well, what's the main reason why you want to use this product? Or what's the main reason why you're inside of this job? So if it's a data entry situation, I know I'm flipping and flopping it back around. Data entry, what's the main reason why you're in data entry? Well, I just want to be able to provide for my family. I have some debt to pay off. I have 3 kids. I'm a single mom. Okay, do you understand? So now you're getting underneath, well, I like just helping I just like helping to serve. Okay, well, what's the main reason why you're in this job? What's the main reason why you want to use this oil? What's the main reason why you are in construction? What's the main reason why you are looking at this weight loss product? What's the main reason why you want to lose weight? Okay, so find out what that is. Because now this is part of their motivator. Whether it's the need or the goal, this is now the motivator. Now you lead with the motivator to the processes. Because the processes still have to get done, right? But if you help to change the motivation as to why they're doing it, and you give purpose to it, now they have ownership in it. If there's no ownership in it, they're not going to stick with it. They're not going to do a good job. So you have to add what their personal motivator is to do it. So now it's about, okay, so your kids are really important to you. And paying off your debt. How much debt do you want to pay off? I have $35,000 worth of debt I want to pay off. Okay, how soon do you want to get that paid off? Oh, like, you know, tomorrow. Okay, well, we know that's not going to happen. So what's the timeline you have? Okay, so let's go back to this weight loss thing. So how much weight do you want to lose? I want to lose 50 pounds. Okay, by when would you like to have that accomplished? I want it accomplished by X amount of date, you know, whatever the date is. Okay, great. So what's the plan we're going to use to help you do that? What's your plan? Draw from them what that plan is. Most people don't know. Well, what are you willing to do that? So like with any kind of goal, First, you have to have an appropriate timeline to achieve it. Now, listen to me carefully. So many of you rubies, everything to you has to be done fast. You have too short of a timeline, and you also have 50 of them. You have 50 of them. Listen to me carefully. You cannot have 50 top priorities. You cannot have 50 top priorities. This is how you burn yourself out. This is how you become a jack of all, come on, and master of none. Is by having 50 top priorities, having 10 top priorities. How many of you have 10 or more top priorities? Okay, so this is how you get nothing done. Or this is how you get, this is how now you push to try to get something done, but it's not pretty. And what you're looking at is all those other things that are undone, which means that you're not satisfied with what you did get done because you now have 9 other things that you still have to get done. So you have to pick one priority that is the chief, number one, most important priority that you're going to focus on. And that needs to be on a daily basis. That has to be on a daily basis. So each day it's like, okay, what is the number one thing I'm going to get done today? When I lay my head down today, what is the number one thing I'm going to get done today? So again, so if it, and this is what, by the way, this is how you direct your team. This is how you direct your team. If they're data entry people or if they're weight loss people or if they're selling something, if they're contractors, what's the one thing we're going to focus on getting done today? Define that one thing. What would be a lesser priority thing that could get done if we get this thing done soon? So there's a front burner thing that you focus on, and then there's back burner projects. So the back burner projects, listen carefully, is this. And I do this with the people, like, for example, my assistant, who now is my daughter, who I'm so freaking excited to work with, because my work life is an opportunity to train up my next generation, right? So Rachel has moved, not that Rachel, we have another Rachel, which is so freaking confusing, is in our marketing department. But my daughter, Erica, is now working with me. And so this is something that I teach her. Okay, so you have the one thing that's got to get done today, come hell or high water. That means 100% of the focus gets done on this one thing. That one thing might take an hour, that one thing might take 8 hours. Okay, but the high priority is this has to get done. Okay, with this second thing, so if that gets done, this second thing, we're going to just move the ball down the court. Listen carefully. Some things are back burner projects that you move down the court little by little each week. Little by little each week. So what is going to be your one thing leaving here that you will accomplish? What will be the one thing that you must work on, fix, accomplish? Is it your debt? Is it your marriage? Is it your work life? Is it managing your time better? Is it cutting out distractions? What is the one thing that you're going to focus on? And then what is maybe 2 or 3 other things that you're going to slowly move? They're background things that on a weekly basis, you're going to slowly move the ball down the court so that you're making progress. So one thing is accomplished. Maybe 2 other things are what? Progress. 2 other things are progress, moving the ball down the court, right? Because if we're progressing the ball down the court, are we going somewhere? Yes, just not at the same pace as the one freaking thing I must get done. Make sense? Okay, cool. So with weight loss, for example, you have to have a realistic timeline of when you want to get it done. If you do not pick a timeline that it can actually get done in where you're not going to kill yourself, you won't even try. Okay? What's another thing that it takes to be able to lose weight? a freaking plan. You need a plan. If you don't have a plan, it's not going to work. So it's the same for succeeding in business. It's the same for succeeding in the marriage. It's the same for succeeding in your finances. You got to have a plan. If there is no plan, and by the way, you can't have five plans, emeralds. Stop the freaking research. I'm not kidding you. And by the way, sapphires have the same disease. They do. They have the same disease. It's not so much research. It's just options. That's what it is. So like how many of you on Monday you try, you know, Beachbody's diet plan, and on Tuesday you use this book that you read, you try that plan, and then you do the balanced diet on this day, and then you fast on this day. How many of you have done this? Right? So you're switching all over the place, right? And you've done so much research and you've had so many options added to you that you're like, oh yeah, no, I heard nuts are really important. So I'm gonna eat nuts. Do you understand? Okay, no, that's right, calories. I'm going to track my calories, okay? And you do that for a couple of days, you totally get distracted. But I learned this other thing over here. I'm going to try the Daniel fast. Who's done this? All in a week, you could do five different plans. Right? All in 1 week, you could do five different plans. Okay, wait, I'm going to go back to my Atkins thing. Like, no sugar, no carbs, all meat today. Wait, that keto thing sounds really, really cool. I'm going to eat all the fat I can.
Give me the bacon.
Okay? Right? So people do this in business also. They're working from all these different plans. They've learned from all these different speakers, all these different trainers. So they're trying a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Totally distracted, unfocused, and can't get any results. So when it comes to achieving a goal, whether it's weight loss or building your team in your customer service department or building your sales force or building your construction team, there has to be one plan. Everyone's on board following that one plan. This is how the pros do it. The pros don't have 50 different plans. There is a certain amount of plays that they use. They use those plays in that game. They then go back and reevaluate the results, the score. They study and they fine-tune. So you got to pick a plan and you got to stick to the plan and you need to shut all the other voices out. Shut all the other voices out. But Danny, what if I pick the wrong plan? You will, fool. There is no right plan. Just pick a plan. How do I know it's the right plan? Whatever plan you pick and do is the right plan. Because you will get results if you follow the plan. So number one, you need what? A realistic what? Timeline. There has to be an end date. There has to be a due date. There has to be a do or die date. Okay? Do or die date. If there's no do or die date, it ain't going to happen. And you've got to start talking, especially those of you in your pearls, you've got to start nailing this with your people. Oops, that was good. You have to start nailing this with your people. You have to. I'm on heels and I'm on a step. So this is what's jacking me up. Okay? So if you don't start at giving timelines, you can't do this loosey-goosey crap. Yes. Loosey-goosey is a weakness. Loosey-goosey does not help anyone succeed. Sapphires and pearls, you have this problem. So loosey-goosey doesn't help anyone to succeed. How many of you want to help people succeed? Yeah. Well, if you want to help people succeed, they need a path. They need a track. They need simple instructions to follow. They need a simple process. They don't need five different options. One, this is what we're doing. This is where we're going, and this is how we're going to get there. And it's the same thing every time, every time, every time, every time. Now, I know I'm singing a love song to my emeralds. But guess what? That's their strength. If that's not your strength, that means it's your what? Stay out of your weakness. If your strength is not diligence and your weakness is what? Distraction, options, loosey-goosey, no commitment. Those are your weaknesses. What did I just say about your weaknesses? Stay out of your weaknesses. Stay in your strengths. Stay in your strengths. So we have a date. Okay, Rubies, you guys suck. Your weakness is timelines that are inhuman. That's your weakness. Your weakness is timelines that are totally inhuman. The second weakness is expecting everyone else to be inhuman to follow your timeline. So this causes a team to fail. So what do you do? We evaluate that team. Hey, gorgeous. You look so good, by the way. You do. You look awesome. You look awesome. I wish I had pictures of you from 8 years ago. Seriously. She looked like a grandma 8 years ago. Now, look at this hot. Can I borrow the outfit? I freaking love it. Yes, you look so good. Everything looks so good. Okay, sorry. Squirrel. I just love watching transformation happen. People going from old, you know, I'm 50 and I'm old, I'm tired, I have 17 medications too. Let me just walk down that thing, swishing that thing. Jeez, man. I'm telling you, we're setting new rules of what 50, 60, 70 looks like, what 40 looks like. We are. Like, who says you're supposed to be dead and tired? Uh-uh. You should be having more sex than the 20-year-olds are. That's right. That's what I'm saying. That is a movement. That's lots of movement. Anyway, okay. So a plan, a simple plan, right? And that plan has to be demonstrated to your people. Your people can't follow you if you're moving around like this all the time. They can't follow you. If it's not a simple, direct process with a deadline, they don't know where to go. They don't know where to go. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. So they're failing because you are not picking a plan. Your job as a leader is, here's the plan, here's the process, this is the date it's supposed to be done. Here's the plan, here's the process, this is the date it's supposed to be done. Okay? So backing up, what is the main reason they have for being a part of it? So now you use whatever their main reason for being a part of it as the motivator to stick to the step one, two, three, step one, two, three, step one, two, three. Do you understand? So if it's them paying off debt, okay, this process, step one, two, three, is going to help you pay off debt. If it's losing weight, this step one, two, three is going to help you lose weight. Do you understand? If it is that I want to feel better about myself, this step one, two, three is going to help you feel better about yourself. No matter what the goal is, the process, you keep the focus on what motivates them. That's why they're doing the process. Make sense? So you add purpose to the daily boring work or the daily process that has to be done. No one's purpose is their job. Nobody's purpose is their job. What's everyone's purpose? Huh? The whole freaking life. The whole purpose is everything. It's all eight areas of their life. Thank you. Okay. So number one, timeline. Number two, plan. Number three, bite-sized pieces, little tiny steps that lead to the end goal, little bite-sized pieces, one day at a time, one process at a time, okay? So timeline, plan, bite-sized pieces, okay? Here's another thing. With the bite-sized pieces, you have to celebrate the wins. You have to celebrate the wins. Rubies, you suck at celebrating wins. You can't even see them. You can't even see them. And then the sapphires. I woke up today. Yes. Sapphires, everyone gets a trophy. And the pearls, everyone gets a trophy, okay? All right, and then the emeralds too. If it wasn't a perfect win, we focus on what we sucked at. This sucks the life out of a team. This sucks the life out of a team. Okay? Emerald, your weakness is perfection. Stay out of your weakness. Your weakness is picking the perfect plan. Stay out of your weakness. So when it comes to the team, it's now eyes that see the whole picture, the whole team. Okay? So there has to be wins. The bite-sized pieces are the little games that lead to the Final Four, that lead to the big, big tournament, the big championship. So if you're celebrating each win along the way, this is building people's confidence. Do you hear me? Each win along the way is building people's confidence. So if you have someone on your staff or in your sales organization and they said the main reason why they have their job is because they need to pay off their debt, well, then what should you, and let's say that you work at a manufacturing plant. Okay, you work at a manufacturing plant. The main reason that they have the job is because they want to work on paying off their debt. What should you be following up on them with? You should be focusing up on them on when. How often should you be focusing up on them about their debt? Weekly. If they're getting paid every 2 weeks, then what should it be? Every 2 weeks. So how much did you put towards debt? Good job, man. Now you're like, but that has nothing to do with my job. That has nothing to do with work. You're right, fool. This is your team. And their vision is what matters to them. When they see that you care about that and you're holding them accountable about that. Now wait, watch. Okay, dude, if you're wanting to increase your income, these are the things that you need to do in order to do that. So now here's accountability. Okay, now we increase your income. How much more is going towards debt? Now they see you care about what? Them. Not just the work they do for you. Not just the work they do for you. But you care about their purpose, their full purpose for their life. You care about their family. You care about their future. Do you understand? So now you're holding them accountable on those things and using those things to drive them to becoming better workers. To following through better. Okay? All right. So realistic timeline, what else? A plan, not five plans. How many plans? One plan. One plan. Okay? So how many of you want to pay off debt? What's your one plan? War on debt. That's the plan. Don't do another plan. Give that plan 5 years. But what if there's a better plan? Shut up, Ruby. Okay, well, I'm going to wait and make more money first, and then I'm going to write a big check. Don't be a dumb idiot, Ruby. Don't be an idiot. You can't break the law of being faithful with the little. The law will break you. Okay, so number three was bite-sized pieces. Bite-sized pieces and celebrate the wins. Celebrate the bite-sized pieces. So at the end of the day, all right, guys, we made it. We did, our target was 10 new leads. We got 5. Awesome job on the 5. Tomorrow, let's see if we can move the needle a little bit more. Okay? Celebrate what was done and celebrate the fruit that did come in. Emeralds, but it wasn't 10. Rubies. But it wasn't 10. We lost. If you shoot for the stars, you might land on the moon. Shooting for the 10, you landed on the 5. This is a win. The rocket was launched. It landed somewhere. Little bite-sized pieces, little by little, we move ourselves ahead. The whole team has to feel like they're winning on a daily basis. Otherwise, they lose steam. They lose steam. So quit looking, quit being in the weakness of it has to be perfect or it has to be huge in order for something to be celebrated. You're hurting and crippling your team. Your first string team is crippled. They feel like failures and the work team feel like failures. So by the way, what is celebrating on the list of your life? Thank you. It's fun. Let's do it again. What is it? Health, number 2. Marriage. Three, parenting. Four, family, extended family. Five, work. Six, fun. Seven, eight, legacy. Okay. Okay. Next, you got to track your progress, which is kind of what we were just talking about, bite-sized pieces. So bite-sized pieces, breaking down the goal that's way over there into bite-sized pieces that come down to daily activities. Okay, the goal might be something from a year from now, breaking it down into bite-sized pieces that tells me what I'm supposed to do today. Okay, so number four is tracking that progress. Track the progress, celebrate the progress. That now fills in number six. How many of you suck at having fun? Okay, guess what? For the win of the team, you got to get good at that. That's how you're going to build a team. You cannot build a team without celebrating. Did you hear what I said? You cannot build a team without celebrating. You cannot build a team without tracking their progress and patting them on the back for the progress in which they are doing. And literally positioning that like this is a win, guys. You always got to be selling the positive of what's going on. That's you as a leader to the team. That's building a team. If you suck at celebrating, you're a sucky team player. Did you hear me? If you suck at celebrating, you're a sucky team player. Stay out of your weakness. Okay, number five, there must be role models. You must have role models. You must have role models. Rubies, you are not the role model. I'm pounding you guys today. I'm going to say that again. Rubies, where are you? You are not the role model. You need role models. What did I tell you the weakness of a ruby was yesterday? No, concerning role models. Wait, let me say this. Concerning competition. Because you see role models as competition. You only compare yourselves to people who are a little less than you. That is not a role model. So to you, a role model is competition. And you don't have any competition. You pick competition that's a little less than you so that you are winning. That's a fake win. That's not winning. That's not even playing. Okay, so everybody here needs role models. The team needs role models. The team needs role models, and the role model is not you. How many of you rubies have not had enough role models? Love it. Sorry. What'd you say? Every slice is a new facet. You're exactly right. The team needs role models. And rubies, you are not the role model. The team needs role models. You need to look at the role models, have pictures of the role models. You are not the role model. Okay, so it's pictures, it's examples, studying how they did it, getting inspired by these people. Role models are for inspiration. Every human needs inspiration. The team desperately needs inspiration. When the team is not inspired, the team loses. When the team is not inspired, the team loses. So how will you inspire your team? How many of you were inspired by Candida when I told you her story? And how many of you rubies felt like, freaking loser, I'm a loser. Like, here's this poor woman who has nothing. She has a crappy team and she has a crappy field. And she did that multi-million dollar project. She did that So it kind of puts things in perspective. Do you understand? So role models help to inspire you to pull the better and greater out of you. So that's why the team has to have role models. So pick role models. Okay? And feed on the inspirational stories. Feed on their stories. Feed on the things they had to overcome. Feed on their failures. Feed on that stuff. This is you selling yourself and selling the entire team that we can move forward and we can do this. What number are you on? What was number six? We're going to number six. So that was number five? Okay. Get involved. The team needs to be involved in learning. The team must be involved in learning. How do you learn? This is audios. These are books. The team must be studying something together. The team needs to study how they're going to move themselves ahead. So that's a few things. They need a time of being refreshed and weekends like this. This is where you pull out of the main source of the world and come into a place where you've got 3 days where you're not thinking about any of that crap, where your brain can be stuff dug out and new stuff put in, right? You could dig the rocks out of your head, create some room inside of your soul for new growth. So it's important that the team learns together. It's important that the team cries together, laughs together. It's important that the team goes through things like this together, okay? Really important that the team goes through courses that are specific towards the process in which you guys are learning. So the team has to grow together. And listen to me carefully. Many of you, by the way, you're not the teacher of your team, just like I'm not the teacher of mine. My people can't hear me. My people can't hear me. My people cannot hear me. Your people can't hear you. Rubies. All you have to do is look at the facts. The closer they get to you, and if you're the one working with them, you are not the one that's going to help pull the best out of them. They have to be in a different environment, and they will hear the same exact words from somebody else and go, wow. Just like some of your husbands and some of your wives have been saying the same thing I've been saying all weekend long, and you have not heard them. You haven't been able to hear them. Why? Because they're too close and there's too much history. The reason why this is effective is because I'm not sleeping with you. It's true. I don't eat with you. I'm not with you. So the more time you and I have together, the less you have the chance of listening to me. The less you have the ability, which very few do, have the ability to separate themselves, separate the coach from their mother, separate the coach from their wife. They can't. I don't coach my husband. I don't coach my kids. I'm their mom. So I'm helping to train my daughter, trying to help train, my husband's training one of our sons, only because they are wanting to learn. You cannot teach somebody something that they don't want to learn from you. You cannot teach something to someone who does not or cannot learn from you. You have to understand your position. I'm going to get on an airplane with 234 other people that probably don't know me. But I guarantee you, if you were on the plane, you would switch seats and want to sit right next to me. And you would drill me with questions for 3 hours to Dallas.
And ask for prayer.
And ask for me to pray for you, perhaps. Okay? But the other strangers on the plane, they're not asking me anything. Why? Positioning. Positioning. That's why. You have to know what your position and your role is and what it's not. And quit trying for it to be something that it's not supposed to be. And quit trying to expect your people to see you the way you want them to see you. You don't have the right position. It's like this. You going home and you giving all this information that I've taught you this weekend and writing it up in an email and sending it to your team. Is it going to have the same impact that it had on you? No. Not at all. Why? Number one, because it's in black and white. They're not getting the experience. First step success is an experience. You have to experience it. You got to be sitting in here. You have to be sitting next to the people and talking to the people and experiencing the stuff that happens on the bricks and what happens from the stage and the weird, quirky stuff that happens out of nowhere. Like what I just said. So anyway, those things, right? That when the revelation comes, boom, whoa. You don't have that from reading black and white. You don't have that also by reading black and white in your house. You don't have that by pressing an audio in your car while you're driving. You're totally distracted while you're driving and you're listening. Do you understand? So the reason why revelation gets so much stronger when you're here is because you're not focused on anything else. Everything else is cut out, so your mind is open. You're like, okay, let's go. Right? So I promise you, the ones who are closest to me have the hardest time hearing me. So quit expecting your family to hear you. My family, I told you yesterday that most of my family has not been to this event. Vast majority of them. And why? Because I'm their family. That's why. More of your family has come to these events than mine. Is it because I haven't invited them? I have. It's because it's me. If it was somebody else, then they might hear. But because it's me, they can't hear. So quit expecting for your spouse to hear you. That you're their spouse. You're not their guru. You're not their coach. You're not their guru. You're not their coach. Just as I am not my husband's. He's my leader. I trust in his advice. I ask him for advice. But if he gives me advice without me asking, I tend not to hear it. If I'm in need and I'm desperate and I ask him, then I hear it. Make sense? Okay, so what was number six?
Get the team involved in learning.
Yes, get the team involved in learning and realize that you only have so much influence on them. You only have so much influence on them. How many of you have been expecting to have more influence on them than you do? How well is it working? Quit frustrating you and them. All you're doing is building bitterness. All you're doing is building bitterness. Okay? Number seven is stay engaged. You have to keep the conversation going. You have to keep the conversation going. If you do not stay engaged and keep the conversation going, people forget about what they just learned. They forget about what the goal is. This is why if the goal's way out there and there's not bite-sized pieces, they forgot what the goal is. So when you can just take bite-sized little pieces and you keep the conversation going, then people get better and better and better. Why is it that right now we're watching people get better at prospecting and closing? Because we're doing the classes. Because they're focused on it. Because every single day they're focused on it. We're meeting on it. They have a role model that they're learning from, right? So now this is part of the focus. Whatever you focus on is what you get good at. Whatever you do through repetition is what you master. So what does your team need right now, both first string and second string team need right now in order to succeed? What skill sets are we missing? Is it closing? Well, if it's closing, then what do? We're going to press play on closing. We're gonna master the skill of closing by keeping the conversation going. How's it going with that closing? What were your numbers last week? How can we move that number again? What objections are you getting? Okay, look, here's the script on page whatever. This is the script that we use for I don't have the money. This is the script we use for I don't have the time. This is the script we use for I need to talk to my spouse. Do you understand? So whatever you're focused on, that's when you're going to get laser sharp on and you're going to master it. But if, again, we just talk about it and we don't have accountability for it and we don't keep pressing play on it, we don't master it. Does that make sense to you? Okay, cool. Number eight, okay, is that you need to know that there will be a time when doubt sets in. You need to know there will be a time that doubt sets in. You need to know there will be a time that doubt sets in. You need to know there will be a time that doubt sets in. You need to know there will be a time that doubt sets in. So if you know that there will be a time that doubt sets in, what's your plan for that? What's your plan to prevent the doubt? If you know that there will be a time where doubt sets in, what is your plan? What is your plan? Can you please read to me number one? What is your plan for when doubt sets in? Can you read number two, please? Can you read number three, please? What is your plan to prevent doubt setting in? Can you read number four, please? What is your plan to prevent doubt setting in? Can you read number five, please? What is your plan to prevent doubt from setting in? Can you read number? Can you read the next one, please? I just gave you the process that prevents doubt from setting in. That's the plan. That's the process that prevents doubt from sneaking in. If you waver off of that plan, what do you make room for? Fear and doubt. You make room for fear and doubt when you get off of that plan. Do you understand? That plan will prevent fear and doubt. So if I'm in fear and doubt, what have I done? I got off the plan. I got off the plan. So what was number one? There has to be a deadline, a do or die deadline. Do or die deadline. Okay? Now, guess what? You have people on your team that are really good at keeping people focused on a do or die deadline. If you're a sapphire, you're not the one. You're not the one. The one might be your 7-year-old. You're like, what? Uh-huh. You've just appointed the 7-year-old as the owner of the deadline and reminding everybody of the deadline. Your project manager might be the 7-year-old. It might be someone in data entry on your team. There might be somebody on your team that is really good with deadlines. Doesn't matter if they're not a manager. Quit doing this thing of like, no, okay, I'm the boss, so I have to be good at all these things. BS. A real leader knows their weaknesses and recruits a team and gives that team the opportunity and the freedom to lead in the places of their strengths. So somebody else on the team might be really good at deadlines and keeping everyone focused on it. You just create the space for that person to talk and tell everybody when the deadline is. Make sense? Number two. So it's a plan, one plan, stick to the plan. Number three. Does the plan automatically come with the bite-sized pieces? You got to lay it out. It's real simple. We're going to be out of debt by X, or we're going to have $10,000 in sales next week. We're going to have $20,000 in sales by the end of this month, right? So how do we back that down? Now we back it out. Okay, guess what? You're going to guess. You're just going to guess. What did I say yesterday about success? It's a guess. Success is a big guess. It's a big guess. That's all it is. It's a big, giant guess. So wait, but wait, if I guess and I'm wrong, you will be wrong. But guess what you would have accomplished? More than if you didn't take the guess. You will accomplish more than if you didn't take the guess. So it's important to guess. The more you guess, the more fine-tuned you get and the better you get at hitting something. Because if you aim at nothing, you're gonna hit it, all right? So You've got your first string team. You've got your second string team. All right. So by the way, this plan produces a close naturally. Why? It produces a result. This is how you get results. This is how you get results. This plan hedges doubt and fear. Hedges it. It hedges the weaknesses. Now it's recruit the players who can own any part of those seven things or eight things. Recruit the players that can do that. So that's simply how to get a result. Okay? You get to guess at what you're going to do. First string team, what are we going to do? We're going to, tell me. Huh? Okay? So the family's going to work on time management? Is that what I just said? Or is that what you're going to work on? That's what you're going to work on. That's what the mom department is going to work on is time management, right? Got it? So if that's what you're going to work on and it's your weakness, then you're going to appoint some accountability. Does that make sense? Is there somebody on your team that is good at accountability? Your seven-year-old. Isn't that funny?
She's on the first-string team.
Yes, she is on your first-string team, right? Okay, so she can be the project manager over this time management goal. The family being able to get more done with less time so we can have more fun. What's the point of managing our time, Sapphire? That's what it is. What's the point of managing our time better, Sapphires? Have more fun. That's the point of learning time secrets so I can have more fun. What's the point of getting better at closing, Sapphires? So I can have more fun. How can I turn closing into fun? How can I make it a game? Do you understand? So, Pearls, what's the point of learning time secrets? I'm so, you're not a pearl. They don't need help. Thanks for doing that, by the way. Listen to me. You personalities that have the answers, you don't tell your people the answer. You draw the answers out of the team. That's how you learn the talent that's on your team, is you draw the answers out of your sales force. If you draw the answers out of it, they own it versus you telling them what the answer is. Now they have to figure out how to understand it. But what comes out of their mouth, they already understand. They already own. They already committed to it. So, Pearls, what would be the reason why? What would be a great benefit for understanding time secrets? To have more peace? Where's my pearls? Raise your hands. What would be the reason? Tell me. Huh? To serve more people? He said to protect my family better. To have more time outside. To take more long walks. To have the reward of having some more leisure time, taking a bath, having a nice bottle of wine with your spouse, reading a good book, not feel rushed, which totally drains us. Oh my gosh. That if we learn the secrets of time and we learn this time optimization thing, we can actually walk slower. We can decompress and not feel guilty about it. We actually have it in our calendar that this is that time where it is silent. And I am helping people because I have that on my schedule and I got that done. And now this time to myself to decompress, to write some cards, to read a nice book, to pray, to worship, to dance, to be outside. That's why I'm going to use time secrets. Oh. Rubies, what's the benefit of learning time secrets? To get more done and to make more money. To get more debt and to make more money. Take over the world. Conquer this thing called life. To freaking win. Right? Emeralds, what's the benefit? What's the motivator? Efficiency. Efficiency. Completion. Getting it done right. The first time, thoroughly. Making sure no details are missed. Say what? 17 points completed. 17 points completed and done. Okay, so do you hear me? You have all these four gems on your team. So when you are saying, no, our family, how many of your families have spun completely out of control? Okay, and how many of you feel like things are just swirling everywhere? Okay, then time secrets is a really important thing to study. But everybody on your team is going to have a different motivation for learning it. And you keep that motivation in front of them. Do not make your motivation their motivation. That is dishonoring. That's full on dishonor. So you have your reason, and you recruit the team to own certain parts and delegate rubies, hello, emeralds, delegate the responsibility and the ownership to the ones who naturally have strengths in those areas. Now it's the team moving forward to get it done, and now it moves forward with ease. It moves forward in harmony. It moves forward fun. Everyone's learning a skill together and getting good at it from their own perspective. Make sense? Okay, so what's a second string goal perhaps that you will work on leaving here? Okay, she says duplication. What's that? Creating a system to get results is not going to get results. You already have the system. Using the system. Not creating a system. You already have the system. Use the system. Okay, we already have the plan. Use the plan and just keep doing the plan over and over again. Now, sapphires, you have a hard time doing the same thing over and over again. Right? You think it's boring to do the same thing over and over again. Right? But wait. What could be the motivation for the sapphire to use the plan? We make it fun. Can you please look at the plan? Does the plan have fun in it? Celebrations. And how often is there a celebration? Every day there's encouragement and appreciation. And whose job is it to shout out all the encouragement and appreciation? The emerald? It's not all there is in your house. Oh, it's just the two of you? You're both rubies. So it's her job. The younger generation's closer to the fun, even though they're a ruby. Awesome. Make sense? Yeah. So, let me just say this. She's like, we're two rubies in a household. Like, how do we do this? And, well, let's see who can do it better. Let's see which one wins at celebrating better. Does that make sense? Yes, it's not trying to become something you're not. It's using what motivates you to do what needs to get done. Ask somebody who does. Ask a sapphire. Find a sapphire. Say, teach me how to have fun. I have sapphires in my life on purpose. I recruit them on purpose. I make myself be around them on purpose. Guess who's with me the most on these events? Mona, who is a sapphire. She's behind stage yelling right now. Why is Mona with me more than anybody else on these events? Because she's fun. She is an encourager. She keeps things light. She helps to balance out this hardcore emerald. Why are you even asking me the question? Because you want me to give you an answer. You already know the frickin' answer. So what was the answer? No, hold on. She says, what if you're a sapphire who forgot how to have fun? What do you do? How do you learn to have fun again? Well, it's the same answer I gave the emerald and the ruby who doesn't know how to have fun. Find a frickin' sapphire. Rubies do not balance out an emerald at all. Rubies do not balance out. Rubies and emeralds argue constantly. The emeralds argue because they think they're right with 10% of their frickin' brain, and the rubies argue because they have to win and they have to be right. So they do not balance each other out at all. At all. Emeralds and rubies fight.
What about an emerald and a pearl?
Emerald and a pearl get along. Yeah, emeralds and pearls get along. Yeah. Yeah, but emeralds and rubies fight. So you have to have sandboxes of what you each own. This is me and Hans. This is me and Hans. My husband's a hardcore ruby sapphire. He'll never admit the sapphire, but he is.
Is there a way to stay married?
I'm married. I've been sleeping with the same man for 27 years. We have the most harmonious, peaceful, phenomenal, freaking, passionate, sexy, amazing. I would not trade my marriage for anybody's on this planet. I would not trade it for anything. Nothing. So we learned to have sandboxes that we got to be the boss in. That I don't tell him what to do in his business. He doesn't tell me what to do in mine. I own the responsibility of mine. He owns the responsibility of his. I do ask him for a lot of advice. He never asks me anything. He pays tens of thousands of dollars a year of advice from someone else. I also pay $100,000 this year in advice from somebody else as well. But Hans is my absolute chief advisor in my life. Awesome. Why? He wasn't 5 years ago. Trust that has been developed over the last 4 years. I know he loves me and has my best interest in mind. I know I have thousands of blind spots, and he knows me, and he can help me see them. And that when he shows them to me, I don't get offended or hurt. I am like grateful that he is willing to speak into my life and to show me those things. That's trust. Make sense? That's trust. Okay, so have I connected some dots for you? You have a plan. Now you plug in, is it war on debt that we're going to do in our office? Okay, listen, if you take war on debt to work, you're going to increase your value at work because you're going to save the company money. You go and find places where money's not giving the result that the company needs, and you present, let's get rid of this and bring this instead. Okay, so look for places that you can save a company money, and that makes you more valuable. If you take job domination to work, all right, how many of you need more diligent, committed people in the job site? Job domination is it right there. That's what it is, okay? This is what we're going to focus on for the next 6 months. You guys are going to master that thing. When you master that thing, now you master the next thing. Okay, one step at a time, bite side at a time, one goal to focus on, drill that sucker down, do those simple steps that I just gave you. It hedges fear and doubt. When you get off the plan, now you open the door to fear and doubt. So don't make room for fear and doubt. Fear and doubt will grow in a place where it will be fed. And it needs space. It needs space. So if you leave no space for it, it can't grow in you. So cut it off. It got cut off this weekend, whether you realize it or not. Certain part of fear and doubt got cut off because, can you please show me where the fear and doubt is, please? Can you show me where the fear and doubt is, please? Can you please find me where it's at in the room? It is not tangible, therefore it is not real. It is not tangible. Like, you have to make it up all by yourself. You have to fantasize about it to create it. Why don't you fantasize about your future being something that is much more than anything you ask for, hope for, or ever imagine? Fantasize about that. Fantasize about the healing. Fantasize about where you'll be 5 years from now following this plan. Put more time and effort in the glory of being completely debt-free, in the promise that you feel in your spirit of being financially independent and generational wealth. Put more fantasizing about your legacy than you are about creating room for doubt and fear. Because you're thinking on something. As a man thinks, so. So squeeze the fear and the doubt out by filling your mind with the things that are taking you where you want to go. Okay? All right. How many of you can follow those simple steps on there? Okay. You will lose weight following that. You will. You will lose weight. You'll get in shape following that, if that is what your priority is, right? That's what you will do. You'll pay off all of your debt in the next 5 to 7 years. Some of you will do it sooner, okay? You'll create wealth using that plan. That's what you'll do. You'll heal your marriage using that plan. You'll heal the relationship with your kids using that plan. You're going to have a better life using that plan. You're going to have more fun using that plan. You're going to make more money using that plan. You're going to win using that plan. Anybody ready to win? By the way, every gym wants to win. They just have a different definition of the win. Every gym wants to win. They have a different definition of the win. All right, we're going to lunch. Hold on 1 second. Crap. Can I get the, yes. Can I have Mary Star Carter, Judith Lowry, Jennifer Beal, to please go to the sound riser, go where Chad is. Mary Starr, Judith Lowry, Jennifer Beal, please go to the sound riser because you're coming to lunch with me. We're going to take an hour and a half. What time does that bring it? Yeah, we're going to take an hour and a half break for lunch. So you're going to be back here at 2 o'clock. Yeah, you're going to be back here at 2 o'clock. Hold on. You're going to lunch with three people you don't know. You're going to lunch with three people you do not know. Three new friends. You're going to make three new friends. You're going to form each other. You're going to talk about the plan. You're going to talk about where you're going.